Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit.
Welcome back to the GeoMob Podcast. Today, my guest is Nigel Edmead. He's the principal at Enumation. I got it right the second time. He's a geo-focused learning development specialist with over 30 years' experience in the geospatial sector. As well as running his own consultancy business, he also serves as a learning partner at Place with my good friend Denise McKenzie, and he's also an associate of Consultingware, which is with my good friend Andy Coote, and I think I probably still appear on Andy's website as another associate there, so we share something in common there, Nigel. Previously, he worked for Thomson Reuters, and he's also worked for Esri. Today we're going to talk about something that I'm really passionate about, and finding that Nigel was actually working in this space was a real excitement for me. How do you teach geospatial technical people how to articulate the business benefits of what we do? Whether you're running a business or whether you're the geospecialist within an organization, the challenge of articulating the benefits of what we do is often something that gets missed off the list of skills that geo people need to have. So I'm really glad that we're having this conversation, Nigel. Welcome to the podcast. Start off by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your background in geo.
Well, Stephen, first of all, thank you for having me. I mean, I've been through the podcast, not all of them, and obviously following an esteemed group of people. As you said, the connection to Denise and Place and Consultingware is at 99 degrees, 9 degrees of separation or something.
Yeah. 2 degrees.
2 degrees. So very, very pleased to be here, and thank you for inviting me on. So I am a geographer by training, and I did a master's in land resource management at SILSA, which is no longer, is now Cranfield, which had a remote sensing component, which took me to Africa, into the UN in Nairobi. And through a long journey, I ended up in Indonesia and Jakarta for 6 years, working for Peter Rabley, who's the managing director of Place. And we've had a long career together. Spent 6 years in Indonesia doing GIS projects. Then came back to the UK and joined Esri as a contractor through training, and worked with Peter at his company, International Land Systems, moving more into the land admin tech sector, so registry and cadastre, but obviously geo is fundamental to that. We got acquired by Thomson Reuters, and I went more into the learning role. And in 2020, I left Thomson Reuters to start my own business and got hit by COVID, which wasn't the best time to start. But Peter was starting up Place then. So in addition to starting my own business, I've been helping Peter and Place and Denise, obviously, on the tech. And I am lucky to be talking at the next GeoMob event in London. I've spoken to Ed and he's put me on the calendar. So that'll be more techy, because I heard you talking to Denise and say, talk about tech and geeky stuff, so we can spend a bit of time on that. But throughout my career, I've been involved in learning and training and education. And Thomson Reuters really kind of rounded the knowledge around learning systems, about learning principles and theory, to bring that more into the world of geospatial, which is very well served on a technical side, but as you said, we need to sort of look at the other softer skills for these people, including myself.
So let's start with the key question, or what I think is the key question. Why do geospatial professionals need business skills?
So increasingly, what we're seeing, and I think Denise alluded to this in her podcast, is that national mapping agencies, particularly in the developing world, and Earth observation organizations, the demand for geospatial is basically exceeding their budgets. They are challenged financially to be able to resource or fund a lot of these data sets that are needed by themselves and the wider community and consumers of that geospatial data to deliver on many things like the SDGs, for example. And then there are drivers like the UNGGIM and World Bank's Integrated Geospatial Information Framework, which are basically pushing the need for strategies around geospatial. So there are a lot of drivers, and there are challenges around finance. So basically, these organizations have to go out and look for investment. And that means typically going to their government, you know, the chancellor, and saying, you know, I need money. But then they find themselves up against a road or a school. So there are competing investment decisions that government are making. And they're not, what they have to do is basically articulate the socioeconomic benefits of geospatial so that they are on an equal footing when it comes to a much more understood investment decision around a road or a hospital. You're talking about some things that aren't necessarily understood in terms of by these decision makers. So we as technicians, as geospatial professionals, we basically need those soft skills to be able to put together the means by which we can go up against these more traditional investment decisions that are being made around, you know, roads and hospitals, using traditional investment decisions and mechanisms like cost-benefit analysis. So it's thinking about this competitive investment landscape. We need to have the skills to be able to say, you know, this is the return on investment you're going to get. These are the socioeconomic benefits that you're going to realize, whether it's education, whether it's transportation, whether it's climate adaptation. And you can use those socioeconomic benefits to open up other sources of finance, whether it's international finance institutions or foundations, for example. I think, obviously, we all think of Bill and Melinda Gates in relation to health, for example. So if you can demonstrate those socioeconomic benefits, the returns on investment, those are means by which you can unlock the investment that you need to drive the additional geospatial information.
Gotcha. So, I mean, I think it's fair to say that it doesn't matter whether you're in a lesser developed country or in an advanced Western economy, there is always going to be competition for investment resources. Investment resources are always going to be limited and demand is always going to exceed capacity. So this is not, although you're working in the third world, whatever, the less developed world, we're still, the same applies if you're living and working in the Northern Hemisphere as well, I would imagine.
That's exactly the case. I think obviously it's better understood in the developed world, but you're right. This is not. It's a global issue. What are there? 182, I think Wikipedia says 182 national mapping organizations globally, plus the Earth Observation Institutions, 100 plus of those, plus the marine sector. There are a lot of agencies that are going to be looking for funding. And so they need the skills, or they need the people in their organizations with the skills to go out and get it.
And I'd take it a bit further than that, Nigel, because I'd say that throughout the world, whether we're talking the global south, the rich north, national mapping agencies have always been an incubator of talent for the commercial geospatial sector. Correct. So, you know, I mean, if we look in the UK, the number of people in our industry who have at some stage worked for Ordnance Survey is phenomenal, you know. Mm-hmm. Even me, you know, I worked for quite a while as a consultant to Ordnance Survey, you know, and the same is true in almost every country that you go to. And even in the global south, you know, where they're taking on talent, you know, young people are coming into the national mapping agencies, humanitarian mapping. Many of them will go on to have commercial careers of some sort. They may start businesses, they may work in commercial organizations as consultants, all sorts of things. And they all need these skills to articulate the benefits of what they do, and possibly even some more hardened commercial skills, you know. And we sometimes think that you know, if you work for a national mapping agency, you don't need commercial skills, you know, if you're a technician. But actually, you do need commercial skills at some stage. You need to market yourself, you mm-hmm. know, even as a one-man band. You know, I'm sure you learned that when you started your business.
Exactly. And actually, there was some always referring back to statistics there. That someone did some analysis on LinkedIn on the job adverts, and communication skills came up as the top skill, you know, in all job, you know, job adverts. So clearly, yeah, there's a range of skills. I mean, you're going to not necessarily focus exclusively on the economic analysis. Perhaps you're going to be more on the sales and marketing. In fact, I noticed that you've got a sales and marketing 101 course that you've been running. So, I mean, that's the sort of thing that would fold in naturally into this type of learning that we're working on. So,
and in fact, I'm just about to run that Sales and Marketing 101 for a not-for-profit, not in the tech sector. For a small charity that needs to hone its messaging to reach the donor community. And the same, and the point was that when I looked at this course that I'd run for the last few years, I realized that it's exactly the same things about sharpening your message in, you know, what do you do, who do you do it for, how do they benefit? Those same sort of basic principles of marketing can be applied, you know, whether you're in a not-for-profit, a tech business, whether you're a you know, whether you're working in a national mapping agency, you still, you know, the national mapping agency needs to articulate the benefit of recapturing remote sensing every X years or X months or whatever it is. So, yeah. So who is your target audience?
So I was just going to say, what has been driving us is this idea of this observed weakness in the market in terms of learning and education. So what it's driving us towards is what we're calling a certificate in leadership skills for geospatial professionals. Bit of a tongue tie there. We may wordsmith that a little bit, but the idea is that we would curate a series of courses and content that would basically enable geospatial professionals to demonstrate they have the skills to basically promote the adoption and uptake of geospatial information in their organizations. And this is a sort of a culmination of some of the things that we've been doing over the last couple of years with consulting, and we have been delivering courses to people in South America, Africa, and Europe. And I should also recognize UNECA has funded some of this as well. But the target audience initially is, I mean, when we've sort of worked out our business plan around this is, as I said, is these national mapping and cadastral agencies. So the 182 or whatever they are, plus the Earth observation entities and the maritime organizations that are all geocentric by the nature of the things that they do. But that's not exclusive, like you said. I mean, it's not exclusive in terms of whether it's the global south or the developed world, whether it's the private sector or the public sector. There's an opportunity here to have this available for a large number of geospatial professionals. And it could, I mean, what we envisage it as being as another element of someone's career path, right? They can get the certificate. It's recognized under continuous professional development, like the agencies, like the RICS and so on and so forth. So there's an element of, you know, building it into other, you know, not only a standalone course, but it could be embedded into other educational offerings as well.
And how are you delivering it? Are you delivering this face-to-face, online, self-training?
Well, of course, we can never get away from COVID, right? So COVID, obviously coming out of Thomson Reuters into the world of COVID, but it really drove remote learning, right? So I think there's a metric that always stands out. It was like Zoom. I think it was December 2019, they had 10 million participants. By April 2020, it was like 300 million. I mean, it's a whack in terms of the numbers. So clearly remote learning is here to stay. Now we've got AI. I mean, you've talked about AI in geospatial, but we've got AI in learning as well, in terms of curating content, in terms of personalized learning. So there's definitely a play here for remote learning. And of course, we're talking about geographies that are very dispersed. So it makes sense to have a component of remote learning. And that's what we do. We do e-learning modules. They're offered through a learning management system. And then how we structure these courses is it's what we describe as flipped learning. So it's not, you don't do the, what is in traditional classroom-based learning. You don't hear the teacher and then do your studies. You do your studies and then hear the teacher. What we do is we do the studies remotely, and then there is a webinar or a face-to-face activity, and these have been run at the conferences, the UNGGM conferences, where there's a panel of experts who get quizzed, basically, by the learners. Okay, so I've gone through the e-learning around a particular topic. I have a series of questions that relate to what I'm doing in my institution or my organization. You, as the expert and the panel of experts, can you explain to me how that would be, how would it go about solving that particular problem? So it's we've tried to sort of learn from learning theory and learning technologies about how to best to deliver this and optimize it. Like I said, There will always be a remote component, and in all likelihood, there will also be a face-to-face if geography is allowed it, if conferences allow it. But you know, the idea is that this will always be available, like your podcast. It'll always be a recording that's available that people can continue to take, and we will update it. That's the other thing.
So if I just play this back to you to see if I've understood it, you would do a classic sitting at a computer, viewing material, maybe answering a questionnaire or various things, maybe undertaking some tasks, and then you'd get to a certain point, and then you'd join either a face-to-face or a webinar-style thing where you would be able to ask questions of the teachers, and they'd maybe make some kind of a presentation to you in response to that.
Correct. That's exactly it. I'm glad I described it clearly. That's exactly how it would work. So there's a lot of research material from, you know, obviously from Consultingware, and their years of business in this domain as well. And there's obviously the IGIF, and there's all that reference material that would be reads that can go into this course for people.
Sounds great. Sounds really great. So how many people have you trained so far?
Well, this is the fun thing. So we were just going through the numbers. So on our LMS, we manage a learning management system ourselves. There are 300 people who've gone through that on our LMS. But we've also delivered some material through the World Bank's Open Learning Campus on the IGIF, and that was about 1,100 people, plus these events at the UNGGM conferences. So I think it's between, we could fairly say about 500 people so far. That's not the certificate that we're talking about developing. This is just the initial offerings that we've been making right. available on a number of these topics that relate to how we're going to construct the certificate. But there's definite appetite. I mean, the World Bank conference, the course was very, very well attended. And then the UN GGIM events, you know, the on-site events are also very well attended. So there is definite interest in this.
Fantastic. And are you charging for this?
So at the moment we don't, but we're, you know, obviously pricing is something that we have to consider, because this is now going to be, you know, a fully structured certificate that will have some costs associated with it in terms of our time to commit to develop it and so on. So, but we're aware of where our target audience is, so we want to price it attractively. I mean, it's not going to be prohibitive, it's not going to be a university cost, but we'll come to that as we continue to work on this.
Okay, and I guess the question is, there are loads of other people who are training in this sort of area, leadership skills, business skills, marketing skills. What distinguishes you, do you think?
Okay, so that's a very good question, and it's a very fair question, and we certainly don't want to duplicate stuff, right? I mean, there's the PMP certification from the Project Management Institute, for example. I mean, that we're not trying to replicate something like that, and we're aware that there are a lot of courses. Like I said, on LinkedIn, there are stacks of courses around leadership and stuff, but the thing that they don't have is they don't bring that geospatial perspective, and I think that's also part of why I'm here in this business, is because I've come from that geospatial world, and I have the experience of learning, and I want to sort of blend the two together. We can really, you know, that's where we can start telling stories about the use cases, the socioeconomic benefits through these channels of communication, right? So an elevator pitch is an elevator pitch. It doesn't matter. But you're selling geospatial. So you need to be able to promote or articulate specific elements of geospatial, and not, you know, those courses, those generic ones, which are great, don't include that element. So it's tailoring it to our audience, right?
And also, I guess, given your background and the people that you work with, you know, like Andy and Denise, who also have worked in international geospatial for a long time, you've got a catalogue of case stories of, you know, I mean, so we're not talking about aspirational benefits, we're talking about in such and such a country, they did this and it delivered that, right? And when you can articulate that and maybe pull out half a dozen examples in a couple of minutes of where people have made big gains from their investment in geospatial, it makes it a lot more convincing.
And there are more and more of those being added, actually, through the World Bank and through other international finance institution funding. Kart Phuket in Moldova and Georgia, there are some examples where they have written these very, very detailed socioeconomic benefit reports, which are available. And like you said, they can be cited throughout this training material. So real demonstrable examples. There is this IGIF framework as well. Increasingly, there is a standardization around how do you go around, you know, basically strengthening geospatial. Well, there's a methodology associated with that. So you can think of this course as a kind of a wrapper around a methodology that's evolved to give them the sort of added softer skills to sort of get this thing going.
And I think, you know, I loved when you mentioned the elevator pitch, because most of the time you've only got 1 or 2 minutes to get somebody interested, and you've got to have a high impact first shot at this, because what you're trying to do is to get the person with the purse strings to say, oh, that sounds interesting, tell me a bit more. And then you can start to unpack it. But if you don't grab their interest in that first couple of minutes, you very possibly have lost the opportunity.
Correct.
And sometimes the opportunity comes to not to the person who you would expect it to, which is another problem. I mean, it's not for the head of geospatial or the general manager of the mapping agency. It's for almost everybody who works in that, who interacts with other government departments and donor bodies and et cetera, to be able to quickly spin out that pitch and understand that pitch and be able to respond if they're asked questions.
Exactly.
You know, it's really skills that we need to spread very widely.
Very true.
It's exciting. It's exciting. So what's the next thing for you on this journey?
So I think the first thing is just mention that we're in the process. Okay, so we've developed some of the modules already, and we've delivered in the format that I've described. So the e-learning module and then the webinar at some of the events I've mentioned. So we're thinking that obviously this is for professionals in a working environment. So we have to be cognizant of the fact they don't have a lot of time, but we need to build something that's meaningful and demonstrable in terms of the skills that they've then acquired, and they can demonstrate those skills as well. So there's an element of still sort of designing a lot of the measures of success around this course, but we reckon we've got about half of the course built already. So there are another 50% to go in terms of the content of that. And in fact, one thing I will do is in the link is share a Google form with your audience, hopefully, and then get their thoughts on what would they think or would like to have in a course like this, if it was a business skills course. So where we are now is basically to work on the remainder of the course. We are anticipating to have it ready sort of mid to late this year. It could be delivered rolling, or it could be delivered once we've finalized the offering at the later on in the year. But I don't know if you're aware, but there is, I mean, maybe this is where AI is going to help us, but writing and creating this content does take quite a long time. And you're probably very much aware of that. But that's just the challenge, is the time to curate it. And also then, we do already offer courses in Spanish and French. So, you know, we're aware that our audience is not always going to be English speaking. So there is an element of getting it translated, which has actually worked very well. So that's something else that we do.
So it occurs to me that almost everybody who works in geospatial needs some of these skills. And I do quite a lot of work with startups, and I mentor startups, and I do some stuff on the Geovation program with the startups that go in there. And almost universally, people who come from a technical background need commercial skills. People who come in from a commercial background never need technical skills, really, because there are other people who do it. But when you're starting a business from a technical standpoint, you know, you've had an idea, you've got some skills, you're going to set up as a freelance consultant, for example, because you're you're shit hot with QGIS and Earth observation, right? How on earth do you go out and market yourself? So, I mean, this isn't just for businesses. It's for every individual, whether they're working in a company or whether they're thinking of going freelance. A little bit of business skills training would go a long way to helping them make a success of those transitions in their career later on. So I see this as actually potentially being something that loads of sort of young people coming into the industry, you know, in the Northern Hemisphere as well, would benefit from taking these courses in their spare time and strengthening their skills in this area. So
agreed. And I, you know, one of the elements here is I mentioned sort of talking to other institutions, academic and professional certification bodies or accreditation bodies. So yes, I think including it as potentially a module in a university curriculum would be a great way forward. And that's certainly something we would like to discuss. And then I think there's also, yeah, I mean, obviously we recognize that the career for most of us in this world is from GEO is tech and tech and tech, and then you're just elevated. So you're going to need those skills as you come up. But likewise, if the leadership is coming from outside, like we said, they don't have the kind of conceptualization of these socioeconomic benefits. So there are a few streams of people that we can think about in terms of from a learning point of view. So
fantastic. I'm really enthusiastic about this and want to see how this develops. Let me just finish up by asking you. In the show notes, we've got a survey on business skills needs,
yes,
which we think everybody could fill in,
yes,
to give you a little bit of input onto that. There's some details about enumeration. I've got to just pause. Explain that name to me, enumeration.
Okay, so you pronounced it correctly, and in my thinking, I'd come from the land admin tech sector, right? So enumerate is the idea of recording people's property rights. A nation was just obviously a global moniker, right? So it came from enumerate and nations. So enumeration.
Okay.
And I can't call it enumerate because that's already gone.
Somebody else has got that, right? There's also a link to Consulting Where if you're interested. And there are some sample courses as well. There's a link for some sample courses.
Yeah. So they can go onto our LMS. They'll need to register to take those courses, but there's an English, French, and Spanish version of the socioeconomic benefits of geospatial there, just to get a flavor for what they are, right?
Right.
So you're more than welcome to take those. And then, you know, if you want to get in touch, you can get us on our website or via LinkedIn.
And there's also the UNIGIF framework,
yeah,
on there as well, which is certainly worth looking at for people.
Yeah, correct.
Nigel, fantastic stuff. Really exciting. As I said, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this develops. I want to get you back on the podcast when you tell me you've passed 5,000 people.
Okay, that's my metric of success.
That's my metric of getting you back on the podcast. You can measure success in any way you like, but when you hit the 5,000 people, however you enumerate those 5,000 people, then ping me and we'll get you back on the podcast to have another conversation and talk about what's actually been achieved and the benefits that people are getting from the course.
Fantastic.
It's been a real pleasure talking to you, Nigel. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Great. Thank you, Stephen. Really appreciate it. Appreciate the time and all the best to the audience. And yeah, do fill in that questionnaire. It'll be much appreciated.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to the GeoMob podcast. Hope you enjoyed the discussion. Get in touch with us if you have any feedback or suggestions for topics we should cover. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly mailing list where we keep you informed about upcoming events. You can, of course, also follow us on Twitter where our handle is GeoMob. Thanks for listening and hope to see you at a GeoMob event soon.